Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 272 of the Mighty Whites podcast. What gap between podcasts? Nothing's happened. Shut up. Want to fight about it? Yeah, I mean, a part of this is has been really busy, and a part of it is just not wanting to fucking talk about that playoff final.
Yeah, there's only so much you can say. It was a poor game. And a poorly conceded goal settled it.
Yeah, I think the main thing to talk about is for what felt like 5 minutes, and I'm sure will have been 4 seconds, me standing there shouting, Armstrong! Armstrong! Someone fucking Armstrong! Oh, he scored. Which was about the most annoying thing. We had enough of the game to win it, but we didn't actually create nearly enough. Ah, well.
Yeah. It's now 3 playoff finals, and I've yet to see a goal.
Yeah, I mean, at least I've only been to 2 of them. But yeah, still no.
I'll see a goal. I mean, I've seen goals at Wembley because I've seen England win there, but that was admittedly in a friendly against Hungary.
Kieran Gibbs' debut was it? Something.
And Bobby Zamora.
Oh, you saw the big stars.
The dream team.
But we'll save the people that should have been in the England squad for in a bit. We didn't go up. We're going to lose some players. Obviously, we're keeping this really brief because we'll talk about it more in a few weeks when we know a bit more solid info. But you sort of have to assume some of those gone.
Yeah,
and then you just wonder who else it will be.
Yeah, Daniel Farker's gonna rock up, it's gonna be him and Gary Kelly at pre season, and Jamie Shackleton if he signs a contract extension. Absolutely running circles around everyone in pre season fitness tests.
Yeah, managers really like the idea of Jamie Shackleton, don't they?
I imagine he's described as a lot along the lines of the perfect professional.
Mm. Shows up first day of season, first day of pre-season, the dupe leap test, is the fittest guy there, can play in a few different positions. Every manager thinks, oh, this guy will be useful. And then he just never ends up playing. Yeah. So I honestly, for his own sake, I sort of hope he doesn't sign a new deal. Go to like a club with a big budget in League One.
He could do with a Leaf David season at Ipswich, like he had in League One with Ipswich.
Yeah. Go to Barnsley like Mowat did.
Yeah.
You know, like go play. Because, what is he now, 23?
Yeah, 23, 24.
Like, he has to play. He just has to play. And I know he gets injured a lot, which has been a part of it. But he needs to play because he's... It's a waste him just being on the bench. You'll never know what he's going to be. Whereas with Liam Cooper, I think that offering him a contract makes all the sense in the world. I don't know the numbers. It will be a significant pay cut. If he wants to be here and be that old head in the dressing room and probably not play much, great. I'll be delighted to have him here. Equally, if he thinks he's good enough to play every week, and the fact that he's still in the Scotland squad means that he probably is. If he says, I
don't wanna... let the Scotland squad be the deciding factor in this, Jack.
Well, if you're still in an international squad, you probably want to play some football.
Weren't the options like him and Grant Hanley?
I mean, yeah, true.
Right, there we go. I've set a base level there, and I don't mean that as a knock on Liam.
But you do mean it as a knock on Grant Hanley.
Very much so, yes.
but no, if he wants to go and play every week somewhere, absolutely fair enough. He'll get a hero send off, all of that stuff. But if he wants to hang around for another year and be in the squad, I'd also be happy with it.
What division are Chesterfield in now? That's where...
National League?
No, they'll be League Two next year. They are National League champions.
Did they come up last season?
Yeah.
No, I was technically correct because it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, true. Football manager.
The best kind is correct.
Football manager has not quite ticked over yet into the high score period. So yeah, we're there. Return to Chesterfield.
Yeah. So Luke Ayling officially has gone, but we did our major goodbyes with that before. Quite a few of the good young players, like I was, there's still a bit. I can't say who will live to regret it. I don't think it's like that, but I do think you'll see Lewis Bate come back up and get back to the championship pretty comfortably, because I still think he's a really good player.
Yeah, another one who I think just needs a settled run somewhere and someone to love him and give him the ball.
Yeah, someone to be able to pass the ball around. As a can beat a player, is it? I definitely think he's a good footballer. Obviously, Stuart Dallas is now officially retired, which is a shame. Perveda goes, but we knew that. The others on the list, the only ones looking at this that I could call a surprise. I thought that Charlie Allen and maybe Danny van den Heuvel would maybe stay. But I'm hoping they have some offers to go play senior football somewhere.
Yeah.
Especially Charlie Allen. I like Charlie Allen.
I mean, I know you would. I think you've spoken previously about, is it Daryl Ombang doing quite well with the.
Ombang is, by all accounts, okay. The one I like is Rory Mahardy.
Ah, that was it. Sorry, yeah.
Rory Mahardy, who, and I know it's just mannerisms, but. There's the mannerisms, but it's also the confidence when the ball's at his feet. He reminds me of Pickford.
Hmm.
Now, I am a terrible judge of a goalkeeper, so he might not be. And he looks a bit small and stuff at the minute, but I do like Mahardy, so I'm sort of hoping they just promote him to the 21s and play him every week next year.
Yeah, I wonder if that's kind of the view in mind, is that they've got someone who they think, well, it's probably better for them to come up and have a couple of years as the 21s keeper, as opposed to being second choice for a year or two and behind someone like Van den Heuvel, who at his age is probably wanting to look at, you know, if not go out on loan, find a club somewhere where he's going to play more often.
Yeah. And I mean, there's still Chris Klassen, who, even though he played a couple of games this year, I keep forgetting exists.
Does he play for the 23s?
No.
Okay.
When he played those two league games, by the way, I believe won them both 3-0. Well, one was the Peterborough game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But the, like, he hadn't played any football at all. And so it was a bit of a risk. Because I was saying, I'd have probably just stuck Van den Heuvel because he's played. But I was wrong. He did all right. Harry Christie also got offered a new contract as another young keeper. He seems weird. Obviously, it's very brief stuff. He seems like one of he makes worldly saves, but also like lets him stuff his shield. So he's a bit inconsistent. I was glad Luca Thomas has been offered a new one because he looks quite good. Joe Snowden's been offered one as well. He did quite well. And Cody Drammer, who for a second I thought, God, that's weird. And then remembered that you have to do that in order to get compensation.
Yeah.
So he will turn that down and leave, but Leeds have to offer him a new deal at the same money is on, and I bet it won't be a penny more.
Yeah, I can only imagine at this point. Sorry, that's just led me to looking at what Will Huff is doing now.
He was goalkeeper for Bradford Park Ave. I think Bradford City signed him briefly.
Yeah.
He went somewhere that's a relatively big name non-league club. And it's annoying me because I know I read it.
He's had a couple of moves. So from Bradford to Telford. And then from...
Did he go to Stalybridge?
He did go to Stalybridge Celtic.
Right. Up until quite recently, I worked with a guy who was a Stalybridge fan. That's why it was in there somewhere.
And then Burgess Hill Town, and then Carshalton.
Jim Ross. the other thing to say, Jaden Anthony, Connor Robertson, Joe Roden have gone back. I think Leeds will probably make a play to get two of them back. I think we'll succeed in getting none of them back.
The only thing I can see is potentially if we kind of make the promise that to Jaden Anthony, right, you're the first choice winger now. But I could fully appreciate if he went, nah, I'm good.
I think that's what will happen. I think he'll say, thanks for the year, but no thanks. Because Burnley got relegated, I could see him using Conor Roberts. And I think Joe Roden was good enough for a Premier League team will take him. By the sounds of it, Ipswich. Apparently, Kieran McKenna wanted him last season. But because Leeds were a bigger draw. I mean, before last season, it looked like a no-brainer.
I mean, the only thing is, and I fully appreciate choosing a Premier League club over a Championship club, because the difference in wages will be very high. I really appreciate the job that Kieran McKenna has done there, but I think it's a year in the Premier League and then you're just going back to where you were.
Yeah, they're a bit like Luton out there. You're like, in that you just can't see that squad being good enough to do it, even if they play well.
No, and I can't see the budget being high enough to plug the gap. So it's very much a let's start building a team over the next 3-4 years now with this money. And they're one of those at this point. I kind of hope they prove me wrong, because I really like Kieran McKenna. I really like the football Ipswich played, apart from the fact they kept scoring 90th minute goals that really pissed me off every other week. But outside of that,
cheating, of course. They were just cheating.
Yeah. Bastards.
Games are 90 minutes long. What are you doing scoring in the 94th minute every week? Boo.
Yeah. yeah, so I don't know whether there'll be the thought process of, look, I've had a really good year here. It's gone well for me. But I'll stick it out another year. Because I think if he has another year with us, barring him having some sort of god-awful season, I think he'll be in the same position next year as well, where he'll have options. And I think the calibre of clubs that would be interested, I think maybe a touch higher.
Possibly, you may be right. The last thing to talk about from the return list, which I didn't even make a note of the return list, luckily it came into my head. 1 year extension clause for Sam Byram, which I think once we didn't go up was an absolute no-brainer.
It makes sense. Farker likes him. I think I'd probably be a bit concerned if he was starting as many games as he did this season. But a great player to have around the squad and be an option. You know, did really well at left back before Firpo got fit. Has filled in all right at right back as well. It's just the legs on him, because you just watch him going, I don't know if he's not got a full season in him, but if he's there to fill in the odd game, come on for 20 minutes, I've got no issue.
Yeah, be on the bench, play the last 20, and if you've got Saturday, Tuesday, or with this new TV deal, I don't know, fucking Monday, Thursday, or whatever the fuck Leeds will end up doing, because we'll be on telly every week.
Yeah.
Having him there as an option would be good. Obviously, we've said some of them will probably go. There will be others. We will get bids for many of them. We'll have to see what happens. You'd think I could see it being Melier, because he's there for profit. I'm just really hoping that someone doesn't offer an amount of money for Achigwe that we can't turn down. Because there will be a number. But I don't think he'll aggregate for a move. I think he'll be up. If we didn't go up next season, yeah, fair enough. You'll have to go.
Because that's the thing. I think with Archie Gray, for him, sort of in the intersection of clubs who can afford him and clubs where he will play regularly, I think it's a very small sample size.
Yeah,
because you're linked. You know, if you're being linked with Liverpool and Arsenal and clubs like that, great. That, you know, they do have money to throw around, but he's not going to get in those. Like, and this is no knock on Archie Gray. He's not going to start regularly enough in those teams.
And the ones who might gamble, like Villa, got in the Champions League last season. They haven't actually got any money. Well, they've got loads of money. They're not allowed to spend it because of the rules. Newcastle, similar sort of situation. And they didn't get into Europe and stuff, so they're less likely to gamble. So, yeah, I think we'll be able to keep him for another year. My fear is if he gets fit, that someone takes a chance on Strauch. Because he's all profit for PSR as well. Because he was no money.
I just love that description. He's all profit.
Well, it's the fucking sad thing about these rules. Yeah. Think like that.
Whoa, look at the profit on him.
That doesn't mean I think, oh, everyone should just break the rules and it's fine. But the rules aren't great as well. I'll tell you who's not fucking leaving, though. Brendan Aaronson.
Yay.
It's weird, the reaction to this, because I think everyone has had the same reaction of, I don't really want him because he was so lightweight and he fucked off at the first opportunity. And although, like, and then you give yourself 10 minutes and think, in the championship, if he just stops chucking himself on the floor every 2 minutes, there's no reason he shouldn't be really good in this league.
So I happened to catch up with Connie on Wednesday. We were having a bit of a chat about Brendan Aaronson. And you're there going, at no point could I fault his effort levels.
His effort to get up off the floor once he was on the floor.
But at, like, his running, like, he would put the running in, he pressed quite well. There's a lot to like about him technically. He just needs to put some muscle on and grow the fuck up.
Yeah. Well, I believe in the interview that I think he did it with Graham Smith, but I haven't read it yet. He was talking about how he's put on like 6 pounds of muscle, and I did as a fat guy think I shit that. But
you have a complex now. He's put a bit of muscle on. You fat bastard.
Yeah. But like that, I mean, I said at the not even the beginning of last season, it was the end of the season before, but I thought the best thing for him as a footballer would be a year in the championship. So at that point, I was saying, I hope he stays around because I think it'd do him good. And he's gone to Union Berlin, didn't go great, but I still think it's true that a year in this league, because it's probably as physical in terms of getting knocked about, but it's not as physical in terms of speed, both of thought and physical quickness.
Mm.
And he wasn't a slow player anyway. He'll look rapid in this league. So the more I think about it, the more I'm thinking that this is really good. And although it'll still be big money for championship, he is staying on. It's his contract, so it will be half the money he was on in the Premier League.
Yeah. Look, if he's going to be here and he's had 2 years now where he's not really pulled up any trees, if you are wanting to actualise any sort of profits from these players, I think for us this is the way we're going to have to go about it, is now we have to play him, because otherwise you've just got this millstone of profit and sustainability around your neck of a guy that we're paying quite high wages for him. We're not going to get the money back for him. What else do you do with him at that point?
Yeah. Which brings us on to a couple of other names. And this, honestly, Rocker still has a clause, so he's just off back to Betis. I think Harrison still has a clause, so whether it's Everton or somewhere else, I think it'd probably just be Everton again. That'll happen. But apparently, Rasmus Christensen doesn't. Now, it's fair to say we're not fans.
And neither were Roma.
But in terms of everything you just said about the finances, I could see the exact same thing happening with him. I don't see who's going to take him. What we need is him to have a fucking staggeringly good Euros.
Has he gone to the Euros? Wow.
Yeah, I'm fairly sure he did.
Yeah, again, and I suppose it plugs a hole in as much as I think we've had the conversation that at some point you've either got to decide we are buying a right back or it's Archie Gray. And I think most of us are on the side of, no, get Archie Gray back in midfield. Ergo, the flowchart sends you back to sign a right back. Brackets, yeah. and a left back.
Maybe Dan Urich from Coventry. Yeah. In regards to Enoch in the comments, well, I don't know, I doubt that you were bought from where it's going. Je ne parle pas français.
Where?
Yeah. The other name for that list is Diego Llorente, who also, if Roma haven't bought him when the option, it was like 18 million and then it was 12 million and then it was like 7 million and they're still not taking it. So now you do wonder if maybe Joe Roden is off to Ipswich and the real right centre back is Diego Llorente.
In the championship.
Right. I'm not saying that he's good, because he isn't, and he makes so many mistakes. And after that Brentford game, I could have booted him down a cliff. Like, there was a bit under Bielsa where he was good, but, like, this is pure copium. 100%. I am aware of this.
Like, I know it's easy to say during the first Premier League season, because generally we were good then.
Yeah.
But him and Liam Cooper was a surprisingly good partnership for people, for how people generally felt about the two of them within the next... Well, people already had the doubts about Liam Cooper, but for how people would feel about, come to feel about Diego Llorente within about 6 months of the second season.
Yeah, I mean, the best run that Leeds ever had in the Premier League, he played every week.
Yeah.
Not ever had, by the way. Had in recent years.
Does that mean Liam Cooper also played during that run?
Ego. Played in it, but I think Strouk may have played a fair few of those games.
Yeah. Sorry, I was just thinking of some of the names that are included in that team. Oh, Gianni.
Oh, Giancarlo Pineda.
He did come off the bench a lot.
Yeah.
Again. If we don't have the ability to sign as many players as we're probably going to need when people leave, again, you probably need to utilise some of these loanees that aren't going to go anywhere.
And there's still a voice in my head going, but Sam Greenwood's set pieces, though.
He isn't
good enough to get him aside.
I was going to say, the assumption is that at this point, if when we had a threadbare squad, the response was still, yeah, he can go out on loan. I don't think it's going to happen. We'll always have Bournemouth. We'll always have that goal in the comeback.
Yeah. Alex saying there's no one to get on the end of them, though, and that is a fair point. And even if we do, we'll head it wide. Unless Strouk's fit, he might score. We won't go through any of it. The strongest link in is Alfie Gilchrist from Chelsea as a right back, which, from what I saw of him when he's been given a chance to play at Chelsea, cool, sounds good. But that'll all solidify, and it might all be a little bit late this year with the Euros being on.
You've got to wait to see who's had a good tournament that people didn't know before, so that then they can massively overspend on them.
Yeah, so we can pay 12 million for someone in the Albania side.
Listen, I don't know how a Senegalese player is going to get their profile up in this tournament, but somehow they will.
And Liverpool will buy them.
Oh, yeah.
We'll have a new Salif Diaw.
Hey, there's only one Salif Diaw.
There's probably not. That seems like a name that will be really common. We have a new shirt sponsor and minor owner in Red Bull, who fortunately have never done anything controversial when it comes to owning a football club.
Why couldn't we have been sponsored by Will Ferrell? I don't know how that... I don't know if he just starts putting his films on the front of shirt, like the Atletico Madrid Paramount sponsor deal, where it's just like different films.
And Barcelona with Spotify.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd have been much less controversial.
Yeah.
And yet, here we are. It's 2013.
We're not going to have anything new to add to this, but I mean, it worries me like it worries everyone else. If it sticks at what it is, with them owning a little piece of the club and giving us quite a hefty sponsorship deal, good. I mean, there is a thing with, when you look at all the gambling sponsorship in football now, it's not just that it's gambling sponsorship and kids see it, and so, which I do understand is an argument. It's that it's not even real. Like, Crystal Palace just signed a deal with like a Vietnamese book that just, it's just like a shell thing that's basically illegal. And it's not even, it's if you're sponsored by Paddy Power or Bet365 or we'll leave it, that is not the same as what the Premier League clubs are doing a lot of the time.
A money launderer's advertising on shirts?
No.
For legal reasons, no.
No, it's not even as simple as that. It's just dodgy. But, like, you know, so I aren't going to get mad at it being Red Bull. An energy drink company is way down on the list of fake problems in football. I don't even really give a shit if there's a bit of red in the sponsor. I think it'd be a good PR move for them not to do that. But, like, I mean, Red Kite gave us about £4 and we had some red on it.
Yeah.
At least. So if it stays like this, it's all fine. The worry is what happens in 3 years. What happens when the 49ers are looking to sell?
Yeah.
That's where the fear is.
The hope on my side is that this is a 1 or 2 year sponsorship deal, which, to be honest, I assume if you're going to come in as a minor owner, why wouldn't you? Like, to be, I'd set it up as a 1 year deal because then you can just sort yourself out year to year. And essentially, if we get promoted this year, you then have the option to either jack up the prices or you come in, you put your investment in, and you sell up at the first possible sign. I mean, it doesn't fit at all with the Red Bull model, but
yeah.
If you weren't going to take over, then my thinking would be, well, are you not then being involved for the short-term gains?
Yeah, we'll just have to see where it goes with that. But, you know, alarm bells ringing. It won't be a full, if this is Red Bull Leeds, because it just won't happen. Let's be honest, Labour are going to win this election. They have committed
don't,
to the...
Don't curse it now.
Okay, well, even if they don't, the Tories have also committed to the football regulator. So if Reform win, then fuck knows. I'll just, like, die.
Get these foreign companies out.
Yeah.
English energy drinks for English people.
English ones like Red Bull.
The English?
No, they're Austrian.
Oh, that's all right. That's what I was assuming. I was like, hang on a second.
No, that was the joke. He's like, people that don't perform don't do it.
I just assumed they were Spanish, you know, what with Toro Rosso and everything.
Yeah. The
El Toro Grande? I don't know that one.
Yeah, the... If that, but I don't think it could happen at Leeds, because I think that Leeds fans would, like, literally get the Red Bull staff there at Leeds and beat the fuck out of them, is what I think would happen. I wouldn't do that because I am a weak, frail man, but some drunker, angrier people
with better conditioned legs,
yeah, with better legs and better arms. They might. We've got probably one more thing that we need to talk about before having a brief talk about the Euros, which start tonight. Phil Hay is a Judas bastard.
Yeah, I know. Look at him going off writing for the New York Times.
Yeah, which is The Athletic. Same thing.
Yeah.
They I was surprised at how sad it made me.
He's just been around this old, like, the constants in Leeds United are, well, it's Phil Hay, really. Like, at this point, it's him, and...
There's a figure that's actually not to do with this from Sudger, where he says, when is our team going to settle down year after year? We're always struggling and poorly run. I mean, you're right. But one, the constant...
Yeah. It's a bloody journalist who outlasted most... Like, has lasted, outlasted all the players, all the managers. Yeah. No, it's genuine quite a sad thing because, you know, there was a period of time when he was the only place you got news from because, well, Scum don't have a Twitter account, so we don't need one either.
Was it Paul Bell?
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't need, why do Leeds fans keep saying we need a Twitter account? We don't. Oh, several years later. Oh, hang on.
Yeah. Who'd have thought an official communication channel would be a handy tool? Yeah. But yeah, it was Phil Hay, and even at the times when he was banished from the club, he was sort of still the leading authority when he was at the YEP because he'd had his run-ins with Wise and Bates. The BBC had been kicked out because something license fee.
I have to admit, you shouldn't do the enemy of my enemy is my friend. It's a bit of an oversimplification. But if you have a run-in with Dennis Wise and Ken Bates, probably a good sign.
Yeah. Yeah, and someone who, and again, there was a, you know, the time when, because the only way to listen to a game and have a phone-in discussion was through Yorkshire Radio, and Eddie Gray is trying his absolute hardest to not speak ill of the regime that's paying him to be there, while also just going, it's not great, this, is it?
Yeah.
You know, it was an outlet there, and you know, it speaks to now that you've got two people who are writing constantly for the YEP, and you've got someone writing for The Athletic, you've got, you know, West Yorkshire Sport now has a dedicated Leeds United podcast as well, because, you know, who decided to join this overcrowded Leeds United podcast place.
Yeah, at least when we did it, and obviously have put no effort into this because our production values are literally lower than they were at the start.
Yeah, well.
But at least when we did it because the square ball stopped.
Yeah. So yeah, it will be genuinely sad, and I will continue to follow him and see what he does now, I suppose.
I want him to go into
the arts.
His newsletter will be good. Good luck to Graham Smith, who's going to get a lot more bullshit. And Joe Donahue. As is it's Nancy Foston, isn't it, Phil's replacement?
At the Athletic. I just assume Graham Smith steps up to The Athletic. Joe Donahue takes Graham Smith's place. And it was kind of everyone just moved up one rung on the ladder. I don't know, the YEP and The Athletic aren't connected in any way, but I just assume that's how it would work.
Yeah, good luck, Nancy Foston, just because I reckon the best thing I'll say is, of all the abuse you get in the next 2 weeks, 98% of it will be people being ironic.
Yeah, just enjoy.
Fuck off, you're not Phil. All of that stuff.
Still, 4 months after this, getting tweets of any news, Phil.
Yeah, but no.
I loved it because there's a lot to go. There's obviously the wonderful sort of parade of tweets that, you know, that culminates with this club was not built for them.
Yeah, that is. There are a number of people who despise Leeds United or what Leeds United stands for, but this club was never built for them.
See, there's that, and then on the other end of the spectrum, there's. I don't think the impact of some cunt on a free will be that big.
That's always been my favourite. There's loads of great villains, but that one is my favourite.
And how we wrapped up promotion under Gary Monk.
Yeah.
Good times, Phil. Good times.
Yeah. It's gonna be interesting because at some point this summer, because he will still have all the same contacts. At some point this summer, even though it's not his job, he's going to break a lead story.
Hmm.
And there's just going to be like memes of the stone being rolled away and out comes Phil.
There's quite a few edits of like his face on Leeds flags outside the ground celebrating during promotion and things like that. I quite liked.
But yeah, we'll although we might see if some see if suddenly. So I wonder if there'll be someone comes out of nowhere, like suddenly Baron Cross knows fucking everything. I don't know. But I mean, I would think that. By the way, if you don't follow Nancy Frost on Twitter already, you should do, because she's already put up a fair few articles about what was expected for this summer. And you would think that the contacts book has been handed over, basically. So she'll be your best bet. She's just at Nancy Foston on Twitter. So, 36 minutes into a podcast titled Euro 2024. The Euro starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're not going to bother doing like full previews. If Leeds had gone up and we'd have been in a better mood, we'd have probably done two post-season podcasts about Leeds and then about three previewing the Euros, because we'd have all been in such a great mood for talking about football.
I'd be wearing an Art of Football bucket hat or something like that to celebrate the Euros. But
really, really want that Art of Football jumper with all the old shirts on it, but I just cannot justify paying 90 quid for a fucking hoodie.
Yeah, there was. I think we actually discussed it on the way up as well. I don't know if it was Art of Football, but there was whoever it was that made the bucket hat from the black and orange shirt from last season that I did quite like. But
I look enough like someone who takes drugs without wearing a bucket hat.
Yeah, I've just got a big head.
Yeah. And it's physically large too. The Euros itself, I think just because of the way the Leeds season ended, to be honest, I really struggled to get excited for this. And then about 3 days ago, got a YouTube video recommended, and it was every goal from Euro 2020. Even though it was 2021. And I watched that video of all the goals, and suddenly I was excited for the Euros.
I don't know. I'm not an anti-Southgate thing. I'm definitely not as excited as I was for the last Euros. And I know some of that will be down to the circumstances of what had been happening the previous year with lockdown and everything. And that we were all just happy to be out of the house, that COVID was gone, and you and me definitely weren't impacted by it whatsoever whilst watching an England game at all.
We didn't definitely get COVID when watching an England game.
We definitely didn't contract them during the quarterfinals. I think the other side of it is I look at the England squad. And if I ignore the back five, I really like our chances.
Yeah.
Because you're looking at, if you can get it right, essentially with Rice, Bellingham, Foden, Saka, Kane, and someone else.
Yeah, whichever one is your preference of the several good players that can be added to that.
The other one that's going to be next to Declan Rice, whichever one that one is, if you get it right, going forward, I think England have every chance. But Christ, defensively, I'm not filled with confidence.
No, I'm sorry. Like, I know how England end up favourites. Because if you're a British-based bookie, you're going to be short on England because you're just going to lay loads of money on England anyway. So you always end up shorter than you should be. And this team is rated higher than before. We've gone off favourites for other tournaments where we had a worse team than this. And other teams were better than this. But like when I look at the squads, I think France are better. I think Portugal are better. I think Germany's similar.
I might put Spain as better than us as well.
Yeah. Spain are an odd one because they're a bit up and down. But in terms of quality of play, I think the thing is they're pinning their hopes on a main striker with Morata, whereas we've got Kane. And I think that might make a difference.
But, yeah, I'd like to. Yeah, I don't know. Like with Spain, I was kind of watching some stuff earlier. Like I know they've kind of moved on since the World Cup of having that really heavy possession-based football, and they've now added more of an end product to it. And I think they've come out of qualification with it's like 78% possession on average or something daft.
Yeah.
But that's kind of why I've got Spain up there.
Yeah.
There's certainly no reason looking at that team why that team shouldn't get to the last four.
Mm.
Like I think if you don't make the semi-finals in this tournament, I think you've underachieved.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Because you can, as much as I'd love this to be the case, I think it's hard to say not winning it is a failure because it's a cup competition and things happening in cup competitions.
Yeah, if you get to the final and you've played what is it seven games to get to the or six games and the final. If you win five, draw one, and lose the last one, it's very tough to say, oh, that's a failure.
Yeah. Yeah, like once you get to a final, you can say the final, like the thing I've got to say, I still think that Southgate being that negative is the reason England lost the final on penalties to Italy. I think if they'd have gone for it, they'd have won it. But you can't say it's a bad tournament based on that. It was a great tournament with a bit of a sour ending. And I think so long as you met the semis, you can't call it bad. But it also depends what happens in other groups because it depends what you end up with. Like if you get there and suddenly and you haven't really played anyone and you get beat in the semi-final, then that is disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, if you get France in the semi-final, you can't go into it expecting to win.
Yeah,
like you just can't. Like that French team at the moment is phenomenal, and the depth of it is mad. But
I'll say now just because we're on the subject, that's why I have winning it. I have France winning it.
Yeah, and fortunately, in one of our sweepstakes, that's who I've drawn.
Oh, cool. I'm only in one, and I honestly can't remember who it was I got, but it was no one good. Because without, and neither of them were awful either. Because it was like, what was it that we get paid out on?
Winners and the worst team.
A little prize for the worst team, and it was I can't remember who it was, but it was no one good. I got Serbia and Hungary.
Yeah, it's a horrible combination there of one of them's too shit to be good, and one of them's too good to be shit.
Yeah.
Mine was France as my good team and Czech Republic as my poor team.
Czechia,
my bad.
Yeah, they've changed their name, but they've been really, really very insistent that they want everyone to start using the name properly. I think they give everyone about sort of 2 years to come around and then just start going, no, actually call us the name now.
I don't even know why it matters. We all seem to call different countries different names depending on what country you're in anyway.
I regularly in the pub, I still hear people say Czechoslovakia, so fuck knows.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've got France. I have had, we are putting it in the official predictions, which I should have had the scores up for, but I forgot. They will be ready for the next one. Both Connie and Alex both said Portugal.
Ooh. I assume that you're going France.
I'm going France. I believe Connie's exact words were of course, was sort of going for England. But
he's Irish.
Yeah. Well, he's ish is the
Well, I did say ish.
Oh no, actually, I've just looked, it was Alex that said Hart says England, but he's gonna say Portugal. Connie just said Portugal.
Yeah, You know what? I am very cursed. I know I don't typically do well with our preseason predictions generally.
This isn't going on the predictions anyway, so you might
get right. but kind of my record for that has not been great. My predictions for the last World Cup were very poor. But I, you know, I'm gonna hitch my mast to Spain.
I'm genuinely quite pleased that none of us have gone for England, because that feels like the right thing to do with our record.
Feels like, yeah, that we're giving England a chance.
Yeah. So we probably won't be doing one before Sunday, so we should probably talk about the England game briefly. But before that, do you think... What do you reckon the chances are of Scotland getting a result against Germany tonight?
They can do, but
the last couple of tournaments, Germany have started fairly badly in both of them, haven't they?
Yeah, I do. I think this Germany team probably looks a bit more well-rounded than it did at the last World Cup, and I'm saying this as someone who, for no particular reason, chose Germany to win that World Cup.
Yeah, and they were awful.
They were dreadful, yes. I think Germany are looking in I'm not putting them up there to win it, but I think they're looking in a better position than they were.
They've come into third favourites of Germany.
Well,
England, France, Germany, then Portugal, Spain, Italy. The weight bookies have got it.
Oh, yeah, Italy are in this tournament as well.
Italy are weird. How do you not qualify for the World Cup, win the Euros, and then not qualify for the World Cup? Foreign flair.
Yeah. international football is always funny like that. You look at France doing the double with the World Cup and the Euros, then group stage at the next World Cup. Scotland will be... I think one thing you'd have to say is Scotland should be really up for this. I know everyone plays the opening game to not lose it now. But...
I don't think because it's in Germany, I don't think Germany will get away with doing that. So I think they'll just go full balls to the wall. And Scotland just about have enough to be a threat on the counter.
Well, it's Scott McTominay, isn't it? The attacking threat.
Zinedine Zidane.
It's him and... I was going to say Lyndon Dykes, but he got injured, didn't he?
Yeah, I'm not sure who... It'll probably be...
Go on, Shankland.
Yeah, he'd be the more interesting one, but it'll probably be Che Adams, I would have thought.
Get Lauren Shankland in. Big fan of his from his time at Dundee. Sorry, Dundee United. Got to be careful with that.
Fair enough. I would love Scotland to get something tonight. I can't see it. I think a lot will come down to if Germany score. If Germany get one early, it could be five. But if Scotland can make it 20 minutes, then it could get very nervy very quickly. And if they can get into the game, that's when the fact that losing would be a disaster and a draw wouldn't be might help them. Because then they're unlikely to take too ridiculous a chance. But I am worried if they concede early that the confidence comes in and Scotland have to start playing and they're just not good enough to... They're just player for player worse and end up in trouble. I'll probably say I think Germany will win. I think Scotland will hang on well, so I think it'll be like 1-0.
Yeah, it'd be a respectable result. I'm going to say 2-1 win for Germany.
Yeah. And then Sunday night, England and Serbia. I suppose the first thing to say is, like, who actually plays? Like, you've named most of them. Do you think that the other one will be Trent Alexander-Arnold? Or do you think it'll be Bellingham in midfield and he plays like Cole Palmer?
I'd like that, but I don't see it for the opening game. Even though I think we're playing teams who I think you absolutely should be going out to attack them from the off in the group stages. I think he will go with Alexander Arnold. It's probably who I'd go with as well. If it's not him, it's
I would go with Adam Wharton, but I don't think he's going to do that.
No.
I actually think in terms of the right profile with the players we've got in the squad, I think he's the best one to play alongside Rice, but I don't see it.
I think your other one is Conor Gallagher, who could come in there. And then, it all comes down to fitness at the back.
Yeah, so it'll be Pickford in goal. I assume that Trippier is going to play left back.
Yeah, Luke Shaw is probably not fit enough.
Yeah, and then probably Walker at right back with Matt Gahey and John Stones at centre back.
Yeah.
I must say, they're both strong enough to do it, but neither of them are as good at dealing with a big physical striker as Harry Maguire is. And I don't know if Serbia are going to play both, but they've got Mitrovic and Vlahovic. And that they are good enough strikers to bully most centre-backs. So that is a worry.
Yeah, I mean, what the alternatives are, as Ezri Konsa could play there. Who else did we take?
To play centre-back? I, honest to God, don't remember. Well, we didn't take many, did we? That was the problem.
No, we've only taken one left-back, two right-backs. Well, three right-backs if you count Trent.
Is it 26? I suppose it's Joe Gomez, isn't it? And Lewis Dunk.
Oh, is Lewis Dunk in the squad as well?
Yeah, Lewis Dunk is in the squad. It's just I keep forgetting he's in the squad because when he was playing really well and should have been in the squad, he wasn't.
Hmm.
And now that he's playing a lot worse than that.
Is Ben Mee injured? I always felt he'd had a good couple of years. He'd be good at dealing with a big lad.
Yeah, I don't think he's quite at that level. He's,
get him in.
I'm assuming that he has like snuck into a squad once.
Oh, he's also 34.
Yeah. Oh no, like he absolutely shouldn't be in the England squad now. I was just wondering if he'd ever snuck into a squad once.
Sorry.
The Mark Noble, Jimmy Bullard thing of just sneaking into a squad.
The first question for Ben Mee on Google is what happened to Ben Mee? Oh, he did miss the rest of the season with an injury as well.
Maybe going and be the defender's Tom Heaton.
He does not have a cap.
Ah, right.
In 2022, he was also Burnley's assistant manager.
Yeah, can you remember when they sacked Dyche and Mike Jackson?
He just put together the dream team.
Well, yeah, when they went down, he was the assistant then.
Yeah.
Probably Pickford in goal, Walker, Stones, Gahey, Trippier at left back. I think it will be Trent and Rice.
Yeah.
Bellingham 10. Saka on the right, Foden on the left, Kane up front.
Yeah, I think... Very similar to the let's have Somerville and Anthony on the same side. Having a right-footed left back is, I think, but does like I just don't think it suits the way we play. To be honest, like I think.
I can't believe that he only took Luke Shaw that's left back.
It's very surprising in a 26-man squad, and given that Levi Colwill was in most squads for the last year, that he didn't go in this team.
Yeah. Or even like when I look at, you know, you've got Konsa and Gomez there. Like, I mean, first of all, I would have rather had Branthwaite anyway, because he's had a better season. But even if you weren't going to take Branthwaite, I think you could afford to lose one of Consa, Duncan, Gomez to take a Tarik Mitchell, who's played it every week and looked pretty good. And just because he's a left back. Only because, main thing being because Luke Shaw isn't fit. If Luke Shaw was fit, I'd be fine with it. But yeah, he isn't. So, yeah. But I do think, as much as Serbia's front line scares me, a lot of the better players are getting a little bit old. Like Milenkovic-Savic isn't what he was now. And I do think that if you put enough pressure on their back line, you'll get some joy. I think that Serbia will score, but I think we'll win. So I'll probably say 3-1 England.
I'm going to say 2-0. 2-0 to England.
Cool. Well, that will then do us for episode 272. England play again Thursday, but you're at a wedding in Scotland.
Yes.
So I reckon Tuesday is most likely, but we will let you all know.
Because we plan ahead.
Because we quite often, oh, like this one. Like, I got home like 15 minutes before we started this pod. That's why I have this this exact hoodie on, because the shirt I have on underneath is covered in debris from honking shit around for me, Dad.
And, good times.
Yeah, that's exactly the prep you want. So, yeah, hopefully we can start the Euros well, because I think that'd help everyone's mood. And if Leeds could also announce that they've signed, like, you know, two really good players, and that somehow someone's paid 15 million for Diego Llorente. I think that's what we need. So I've been Jack, see ya.
I've been Casey, have a good one.
In a bit.